Are you ready to take your podcast journey to the next level? Then you're going to want to check out On Air Fest 2025, the premier festival for sound and storytelling. On Air Fest 2025 is where multimedia creators gather to elevate their craft while celebrating their community. Taking place in Brooklyn, February 19th through the 21st, On Air Fest 2025 features 3 days and four nights of live podcasts, performances, and parties. And this year's lineup is bigger than ever, featuring tech queen Taylor Lorenz, SNL's James Austin Johnson, Death, Sex, and Money's Anna Sale, and over 200 creators and storytellers. And because Advertising Week is a media partner of On Air Fest 2025, and you're part of our crew, we invite you to use our code AW10 for 10% off your pass. Get your tickets now at on-air-fest.com, and be sure to use code AW10 to save. That's on-air-fest.com with code AW10. We'll see you there. You're listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded in studio and live at Advertising Week's global events, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technologies industries each and every week. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and maybe even leave a positive review. Thanks for listening. In this episode of the AW360 podcast, we sit down with Sean McDonald, partner and global chief strategy officer at Rethink, a fiercely independent creative agency making waves in the industry. Sean dives into the key pillars of brand strategy for 2025, the art of staying memorable in a cluttered marketing landscape, and why challenging category conventions leads to breakthrough creativity. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Sean McDonald, welcome to the AW360 podcast. I'm so pleased to have you on today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you're a partner and global strategy officer at Rethink. For the uninitiated, tell me about Rethink and your role there.
Yeah, so I'm global chief strategy officer at Rethink. It's a 25-year-old agency that started in Vancouver, Canada. We actually just celebrated our 25th anniversary at the end of 2024. And it's a really principled agency that has been around for longer than I think most people realize. But honestly, Rethink exists to challenge the status quo. And I think the founders who started the agency in 1999 saw an opportunity to create an agency that both made for better work and a better life. And since that time, we've grown to nearly 400 people across Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, and most recently in New York City. So we're a creative agency. We're structured a little bit different than most in that we've got many partners across our offices and then local management teams across each of those as well. But, you know, there's very few decisions that get made by any one person at this agency. We do things as a collective because we're basically on one mission together.
Let's jump right into the kinds of things that everybody needs to be thinking about this year. And let's start with the importance of a strong brand strategy in 2025. It goes without saying that every brand needs one, but what does that mean to you at Rethink, given the current challenges brands face today?
I think for all of us and for all brands, it's important to have a clear sense of yourself. And there's a lot of conversations in brand strategy as to whether a brand has to be dogmatically, perfectly the same time and time again. I just think we have to be memorable. And I think in order to be memorable, there has to be some form of consistency that can be visually from a design standpoint, tonally from how you communicate, and also the kinds of things that you do, but very, very importantly, the things that you choose not to do, the moments that you choose to stick on the sidelines and recognize that though there might be something trending, a meme might be evolving, it's important to have a strategy to refer back to know when not to do something. Most importantly, a strategy aligns the agency and the marketers on the brand side to one point of action. It allows for quicker decision-making. It allows for confidence in those decisions. It also allows for some form of anticipation of how the brand is going to behave within those brands. So for example, we find a lot of opportunities by our entire agency being clear about what the strategy of all of our brands are. And that allows for some proactive thinking. Famously, with the likes of IKEA, Molson Coors, Kraft Heinz, you know, many others, we have jumped on moments, not just because we were opportunistic, but because we were prepared. Our relationship was prepared. Both the marketers and the agency was clear on what the brand strategy was. And so we understood how to participate in that moment. And I think it's so tempting to jump on an opportunistic moment, but it's easy to make a mistake when you don't know how to do it. And all you're doing is trying to ride a wave that you're not necessarily contributing to. So I think in this day and age, we move so quickly. You have to have some guardrails that allow for confidence in decision-making, but also sort of a rationale for what you're going to contribute and why it's going to matter.
That's an interesting distinction to make. Let's dive down that just a little bit, if you don't mind. That feels like it could come up a lot. I mean, we live in an age of so many shiny objects, and especially when you think of the different platforms that brands feel the need to participate on, and there's new ones popping up, would feel like every day, and then they disappear and, you know, are quickly forgotten about the next. Do you find that brands really just want to latch onto those things for no good reason? Or is it just because, you know, hey, you know, maybe competitor X is doing it, we should too? I mean, is it really just shiny object syndrome?
I think there's all kinds of reasons for it. And I think there's so many dynamics to it that I wouldn't want to oversimplify, but I'll give you a few of them. I think no matter what, we at Rethink believe that if we challenge the conventions of any category, be they financial, be they in the CPG space, whatever it is, with whatever brand we're working with, we will outperform the media investment. That's because inherently people will become interested. That's something that has stood out. It's memorable and therefore good marketing. Unfortunately, many times people are looking at an opportunity to gain attention, but again, as I said before, not clear on what they have to offer in that. There's something that our agency has done from the beginning. And by the way, it wasn't our own idea. We sort of pinched this from CPB, where every single idea that is presented at the agency is written in the form of the headline. What's so good about that is we are prepared for the publicity to be generated, but also diligent enough to challenge ourselves and say, what might the press actually say? Selflessly, not what do we want to have said, what is the most likely outcome? And I think that's a really important step, because sometimes when you're jumping on a moment, you think to yourself all the reasons why you're excited and what you can do, but you're not thinking to yourself and wondering, well, in the context of what's happening in public discourse, what's going on in culture and society, what will this be reported as? How will people refer to this? When they share it on social or they text it to each other, what are they going to say? And I think that's a really important selfless moment. And as a CSO, this is what our entire department does. It's our job to help the brand see the other side of the fence, to recognize that you know your brand best, but as well as we know your brand, it's our job to help understand the intersection between your brand and the audience that it's going to face. And if you don't do that, as we do, for example, in checking out that headline, you can really find yourself navel-gazing and caught up in a situation that may not deliver maybe the enduring memories that you'd want. It might not matter, or it might actually just flat out go wrong. So I think there's a real moment of selflessness that you need to consider.
Now, speaking of that audience, consumer behavior continues to evolve. And I know that personally speaking, I'm more fickle than ever, and I'm probably one of the easiest consumers to figure out. How do brands go about learning consumer behavior to earn attention these days?
I mean, this is a topic that trends every single year with some sales pitch as to what kind of data or technology is going to make our lives easier. We have an ethos at Rethink that's very simple. We think it's more important to learn from people than simply about them. For years, we've been getting closer to our consumers, to our audience, through the various distribution channels that we communicate through. I mean, digital allowed for that two-way relationship, social allowed for communities to form, and increasingly, we're getting closer and closer to people, working through content creators, various new media platforms. And I think all of these require basically a knowledge of the audience and not an assumption being made. So though we really relish the data that's available, and there's heaps of it everywhere, data is ubiquitously available. What isn't ubiquitously available is what happens when you actually ask questions about the data, you learn from people and hear what their experiences are that are represented in that data. As an example, we've been working with IKEA for many years, and they have developed what's called the IKEA at Home Report, which is a very intimate look at how people live in various different circumstances. So IKEA, along with their partners, go into the homes. People are living in smaller spaces, bigger spaces, multi-generational families living together, all the things you read about, but hearing the stories about why that matters, what the impact is, what furniture means to them and their family, what one room means over another. And a lot of that adds a lot of richness to what is otherwise just seen as percentage points. And it reveals opportunities in storytelling and connection that you can't just get from data and numbers alone. And I think though data and numbers are really important, I don't think we celebrate the stories behind them as thoroughly as we should. And so we try and get as close to people as we can, taking on more of like an investigative journalist kind of a headspace.
You know, we have so much data that it makes my head spin on a regular basis. And it feels like there's more data that I don't even know about. I'm sure there is. A lot of brands are pinning a lot of their creative on that data. Do you think that data-centered creativity is a smart play, or does it fall short?
There's a quote that Steve Jobs used that I bring up all the time, specifically as we talk about digital data, technology, et cetera, where it needs to be an enabler, but it can't be the shortcut. The quote that he said is that a personal computer is like a bicycle for the mind. And so I think in so much as the data can offer us insight and opportunity, you still need to be creative with it. You still need to do something that's interesting, connect personally with people through it. And so I think what I lament is not that we have a ton of data, because there's many tools that we can use to interpret it in really rich and incredible ways. And I think this is one area where AI is actually going to have a formidable impact, in that it can help us consume, process, and find meaning in data that we'd otherwise just graze over. That's definitely something that right now AI can help us with. What I do lament in general is when data is used in some way in a productized, sales-oriented way so as to justify an idea when it's not really inherently creative to begin with. And so I think what we see are trending sales cycles where things are overemphasized, but the tools that have been useful to us for 100 years are still useful today, just in different combinations. So it's not that I don't think it's incredible. There's been some incredible work that's technology, data focused, but I think it still comes in balance with human insight, some experience and taste to develop, you know, the very best, most memorable ideas.
Taste being a very important key word there for sure.
Thank you.
As we kind of close out the consumer side of this conversation, I'm going to preface this by saying this is a very broad question. I don't expect you to go too deep into it, but can you identify some meaningful pathways that brands can capture consumer attention in 2025?
Well, like I said before, and we started talking by that, I think is having a general plan that has flexibility in it. Not unlike a sports team, you go in with a plan and you adjust it as you see what the competition brings. I think we have to look at what happens this year. Last year, the entire conversation was about AI. And so you saw tactically people trying to use that, talking about AI in the media. But ultimately, it was sort of the more formidable creativity that people in the world were most attracted to. I think this year, I mean, there's a lot of change happening in the world. There's a lot of serious issues facing us in the world. And I think that's requires some consideration in terms of how brands communicate and where they play and where they don't. But it's hard to know the exact pathways because they always surprise us. They always come up. You know, a Taylor Swift seeing the ranch moment isn't something I could have predicted for you at a year-end conversation about what the year is going to be like. But I guess the point is, no matter what year it is, be it 2018, 2035, whatever it is, you have to be ready. You have to be on your front foot, and you have to have a sense of your brand, and you have to have a sense of your audience so that when anything comes up, you understand how to play a role in it. You know, I think generally having the confidence to communicate as truly yourself, but with a little bit of a spin on it, is always going to work no matter what trends we face or how the market, you know, changes and adapts.
Let's shift over to talent for a little bit. How does Rethink foster an environment where talented individuals can grow in their careers?
One of the things that Rethink is really proud of is that we are quite monogamous in our relationships. You know, our average client relationship is about 7.5 years. And we believe that we have amongst the lowest turnover rate in the industry. And there's many reasons for that, both in our philosophical approach, the clarity of our strategy to the Rethinkers that work with us, but also inherently in our structure. So the agency has over 20 partners, 23 partners, I believe, as of right now across the agency. And so we don't believe in we're sort of wider than we are vertical in terms of our, you know, bureaucratic organization. There are many opportunities to lead in this agency. We have long tenured, incredible brands that we work with, from Scotiabank to WestJet to IKEA, Destination Canada, Kraft Heinz. All of these are career making opportunities. And if you don't get in your own way bureaucratically, opportunities then present itself. We are not a hierarchical organization. And so you will see within the organization, those that lead are the ones that are contributing and demonstrating by example how best to connect these brands to their audience in the world. And so number one, it's just a recognition that everybody there is on the same mission. We are trying to be an organization that people envy, and everybody at Rethink has a role to play in that. what's so important is that we spent the past 5 years revising our strategy as an agency. As part of that, we identified what competencies it takes to do well at Rethink. But we didn't just say that in a general form. Every single person at the agency, no matter what role they're in, be they accounting, strategy, the account team, operations, whatever it is, everybody has a document that outlines what role they play in helping Rethink succeed. And I think it's really important because if you think of the hierarchy of needs that anybody at an agency or in a job has, sometimes they don't even know, why am I valued? What is my job here? Articulate clearly. Not just what does my title mean in the industry? What does it mean at this agency? Why is it value? How do I contribute? I mean, the trope is oftentimes that people outside the creative department don't always feel invested in the ideas. That would be devastating to Rethink success. Every single person in this agency understands how they steward, contribute, guide, facilitate creativity. And I think that helps people because step one to succeeding is knowing that it's possible and knowing your role. And we have spent a lot of time making that explicit, not just assuming that people understand what their role is. We know for sure that there's a lot of competition for talent out there. And if we don't create opportunities for people to do their very best work with the very best brands in the world, we simply won't be afforded the opportunity to work with them. And we take that very, very seriously. I know whenever I'm asked about this, I take the role of hiring very seriously. I know that I'm affecting a significant portion of somebody's life. And I think that too often we gloss over the fact that having a good job, one that you really enjoy, one that where you feel genuinely rewarded, where it doesn't feel taxing, is a precious commodity that I think we under celebrate. And so we know that an engaged, you know, group of rethinkers is going to do incredible work. And we spend a lot of time focusing on doing that. And it requires a broad team of leaders to do that. And we're really lucky to have it.
That mantra that you're describing, was that instigated from the word go when Rethink was founded? Or is that something that sort of evolved along the way?
Rethink never stops evolving. My favorite thing about Rethink, and people will talk about it differently, but something I've observed in my own experience there, now it's been nearly 8 years, is that Rethink does a lot of things on purpose, but a lot of things that we do on purpose started because we did them by accident. Now, Rethink started with a very explicit purpose. They wanted to challenge the way that agencies were run. We are forever going to be independent because we want to sort of control our own destiny. We don't want to be publicly traded. We don't want to be merged and mashed together. We don't want to have to exist in the sort of same philosophical space as the network agencies do. That's just a choice that we've always made. But along the way, we've evolved how we do that. It's meant something different all the time. And that's responding to both the industry and the world around us. And so, you know, for example, COVID was a massive inflection point for us. We doubled in size. And that required us, when I referenced a second ago, that we spent 5 years redefining our strategy. When you double the number of people that work for you, all of a sudden you wonder, do they know what we're doing? Do they understand the strategy? Do we know them well enough? Do we understand what their role in the organization is? And so we had to really challenge ourselves on, do we have all of the policies and the practices in place? And also at the same time, not to make Rethink overly bureaucratic at the same time. And so we had lots of conversations at our we have two partner retreats annually where we all go away, get together and evaluate all that we're doing and challenge it. And so absolutely, Rethink has had the conviction since its founding, but it evolves every single year. And, you know, not only that, we see ourselves as contributors to the industry. So if you look at some of the things that we've done, you know, we launched Independence Week, where it's a week in the summer in July where every single office shuts down. We tell our clients well ahead of time. It's no surprise. But the feeling of everybody being off at the same time is different than people having a lot of vacation. And we all know that, for example, unlimited vacation is hardly ever realized. And so we try to create formal breaks where rethinkers can take a break together because they work so darn hard. But we challenge the industry to other independent agencies to take that on as well. We launched Pet Service, and we always suggest that the industry copy us. Let us be the open source, you know, leader and guide of how independent agencies can thrive and create disproportionately good job experiences through our actions. And so every year we're saying, what can we do now? How can we evolve? How can we contribute? So it changes every year.
For my last question, I want to preface this by saying we're recording this podcast in early January of a brand new year, 2025. It's a podcast, so, you know, somebody may listen to this tomorrow. Somebody may listen to this 2 years from now. What challenges or opportunities or both do you see ahead for the industry and further to that Rethink's place in it?
I mean, we've never felt more bullish. I feel really excited. It really does feel like we're in the era of independence. And I want to shout out all the independent agencies that do such incredible work without the infrastructure, the global connectivity that networks have. I think that independent agencies of late have led by example, both in terms of how they represent themselves and also kind of work that they're delivering. I think the opportunity that is sadly going away in the networks is we're seeing the demolition of incredible brands that have been undercared for. There are incredible name brand agencies that have done phenomenal work that were treated as organizational structures for labor so as to extract value and deliver to shareholders. They lost their core mission that founded them. And one of my creative partners, Aaron Starkman, said a while ago, "You show me an agency that was bought that got better." I can't name one. Now, listen, I don't blame people for exiting and having that success. So please, nobody hear me on that level. But we at Rethink are taking a different approach that we are never going to sell. We are structured, much like Wieden and Kennedy, so as to never sell. And the reason is, if our mission is to set the standard and be the example for creative organizations, well, we won't improve if we exit. And so the challenge going forward is, how do we continue to extend our reach to work with the incredible brands and marketers that we get to work with? You know, New York was a big part of that. How do we continue to maintain our integrity, maintain our focus, and never take it for granted? Like I told you, coming back just to me, I have a great job. I love my job. This is the best job I've ever had, and I think it's going to be the last one that I ever have. And I do not take that for granted. And so every single day, I want to make sure that my job doesn't ever suck. And I don't want to give somebody a job that sucks. And so the challenge will always be, can we, with the relationships that we have, ensure that we create as many great jobs as we can because people are doing good work with great partners and setting a standard? Unfortunately, with a lot of consolidation, you see that network agencies lost focus on basically why their brands exist. There's becoming less and less difference between one agency and the other. I recognize the difference between a lot of independent agencies because I see the conviction with which they were founded, and I celebrate that. If we maintain our conviction and we continue to set the standard, I think that agencies will do really well. But people have to know what they're calling you for, not simply because you're big and you have offices in God knows how many cities. It should be that you can deliver for them, create a relationship for them that's committed, focused, and you know, oriented around growth and success. So I think if you stay focused that way and you don't lose the conviction that founded you, you won't find yourself in some of the unfortunate circumstances that we saw finishing the end of last year. Because I can tell you what, nobody at those agencies is happy about it. Not one.
If one wanted to find out more about yourself or about Rethink, where would they go?
Rethinkideas.com is where you find us as an agency. And I think that's probably the best. I'll just leave it there. That's the best place to learn more about Rethink.
Well, Sean McDonald, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show today. This was equal parts fascinating, inspiring, and enjoyable.
No, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for inviting us to talk.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including our flagship podcast, Great Minds. You can find those at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.